Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Here we're going to take a look at the fake alien invasions. So, Chris, take her away.
To be poor, I want the world to be wealthy. He's really getting it now.
He can't do it without dealing with this issue. Damn it.
No, I understand.
So let me make something very clear. Mm-hmm. It's a pipe dream unless they deal with this issue. I'm going to jump in here.
I agree with you.
There's no damn way you're going to get a golden age where we're going to have prosperity and peace going into the future until this issue gets run to ground. And there is no one in the administration who has read in properly yet to the point that they could authorize a plan to do that. There is a clock running. And let me tell you what the clock is. This issue is going to come out this year or the next through a group of whistleblowers who have all that evidence. If it doesn't come out in an orderly way, it'll be 1,000 times worse than COVID if it's mismanaged by the administration. So I want to be very measured and clear in what I'm saying. So there is a way to do this that would be a transition away and not be catastrophic. But if it gets delayed more than a year or two, then what's going to happen is that it's going to be taken out of the control of the administration, and it'll be a runaway train, and it will be worse than COVID.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
The relation between the...
Well, Dr. Stephen Greer is in studio with us. I've been trying for a year to get him on. He's just been so busy, but he said he'd come to town. So he's here with us in Austin, Texas for the next hour and 54 minutes or so. And I tell you, I've got so many questions, so many points, but he sent us this breakdown map that we're going to be getting into. The criminal transnational organization that he's got the research and the documents on that is in control of all of these different systems, and we're going to put a digital HD version of that coming up on screen for you. And he's got some huge news. He's briefed the president. He's given them a classified briefing, but he's got a copy here that's been redacted. You'll get a first look at as well, drstephengreer.com, and more. And of course, I've been following you for decades, and you've got amongst the best information that's proven to be accurate. You have the most wide spectrum understanding of things that I've seen. And obviously, you're here today talking about the state of the world, what's happening in the administration, what the different forces are, and then obviously the UFOs and all the rest of it is a subset of that. So it's great to have you here. I could do your bio, but if I did the whole thing, it would take an hour. For people that don't know who you are, which is only a few people, can you just tell people a little bit about yourself, your trajectory, and then let's get into it here.
Sure. I'm an emergency and trauma doctor, medical doctor, who got involved with this some decades ago when I was asked to brief the CIA director for Bill Clinton, because I had gathered enough intelligence and information and whistleblowers even back in 93 that the administration wanted to find out about this, and so I got involved at that level. That's when I discovered that there had been a decapitation of the U.S. government from programs that are being run illegally that involve UAPs, UFOs, extraterrestrial intelligence, etc. And as a doctor, I sort of eventually phased out of my medical career to fix this massive constitutional crisis that nobody's really talked about until very recently. Of course, now there are all these hearings going on in Congress. And by the way, just if I'm a little squirmy, I just had emergency surgery about 36 hours ago for a ruptured appendix.
Oh, wow. You look great. I didn't...
Yeah. Well, I was on Jesse Michael's show yesterday, but I'm moving around okay, but I'm fine. But it was like a touch-and-go thing because it was a perforated appendicitis. But so I had an emergency appendectomy. But I'm doing fine. But if I'm a little squirmy, it's because I'm in some pain with it. But so that's where I got started. Initially, our goal was to actually have an outreach program to make contact with these civilizations, figure out what's going on. And that's the CE5 contact. You can get an app for that. But on the way to that, back in 92, we had four ET craft that appeared in the sky when we were doing this operation in, near Pensacola. And what happened is that made us up way up through the chain of command into Army intelligence and some other operations. And those guys came after me and said, you know, what the hell are you doing? And it opened up a whole group of people who were adversaries of what we were trying to do, but also ones who were very, very supportive, who I call them the white hats in the military and intelligence community. So what people need to understand about this is that even people in the illegally run black projects, most of them are patriots who got stuck in that program. And those are the whistleblowers coming forward. So we started out with about a dozen. Now we have 765 whistleblowers on UFOs, UAPs, all of that. So the Disclosure Project was a spinoff of our early CE5 contact efforts. And the Disclosure Project actually began in the 90s. In 2001, we did a National Press Club event that had about 800 million people see it. And then 9/11 happened. It kind of knocked that off the radar for Congress and the president. So we've been working on this project for now 35 years.
And it's amazing the work you've done and the quality of it. And for people that don't, debate this back and forth, we have all the ancient scripts and we have the cave paintings and we have the carvings and we have the same events and same things. And then we have in the last hundreds of years, right, the recordings of these orbs and things. So people can say, oh, it's all human now, and clearly a lot of it is. But this has always been here.
Yes.
And we have to ask, how is the United States always 30, 40, 50 years ahead of everybody and then holding it back? And that goes into the original story of, were we given all of this? And that's something you might recap. But then getting to the really big enchilada, now from studying all this, it's all integrated together. We see hundreds of billions, trillions, just in USAID and the EPA and slush funds and secret bank accounts. Everything you were saying about these black budgets, that it's far, far worse. And so the question is, if you think these are rogue bureaucrats, well, imagine what else is going on. When did the decapitation happen? When did the breakaway civilization really, start to happen? How far along is it? I mean, what have you been able to understand? And then this incredible, if I can see it, please, that's amazing. This briefing, this isn't the first president you briefed, and now President Trump has read it. This is amazing. This is the declassified version. You got a lot of secret stuff in here. And
everybody can order this.
Absolutely. And what's the best website to get it?
DrStephenGreer.com.
And this is the Sensitive and Confidential Disclosure Project briefing document 2025 that Trump has and is now read.
Yes. And there's a one-sheeter that's a summary of the executive orders we'll go through that have been reviewed and are in process of review for the administration. I think that what people need, getting to your question, this problem really accelerated in the late 50s. And the reason it did, in 1954, we mastered what's called gravity control. So we began to be able to create our own UFOs. And most people can't believe this.
Doc, do me a favor. Will you just move that mic about a half a foot towards me? Sorry.
Sure.
He's really sensitive, but it's kind of off at an angle to you.
Like that.
That's perfect. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Whoop. I'm going to blow this away. So that was when a group of people, what Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex, ended up basically overrunning the legal constitutional government of the United States. And they decided to keep Eisenhower out of the picture, and certain people in Congress were kept in, but they were people who were part of a corrupt enterprise. So I think the easiest way for people to understand this is that what evolved after World War II with this issue, it spun off in the creation of the CIA, a few months after the Roswell event that everyone's heard about. And then the Air Force got spun off the Army Air Force into the Air Force. And there were military contractors and financial people who decided the public can't know this. And the reason for that, two things. They decided to create the means to launch a false flag operation to eventually, and we're on the, I think we're on the eve of this, where they could create a very terrifying threat from outer space, which is totally false. These civilizations are closer to angels than anything else, but they're certainly not hostile towards us. And so they began to do things like hoaxing abductions and mutilations and scary things, because Wernher von Braun warned on his deathbed they would try to create a huge threat to unite the world around a totalitarian, militaristic, endless war scenario. So that's been a 70-year endeavor since about 1954. And what they've been able to do is create a lot of aircraft that look exactly like a extraterrestrial UFO. And they're so close now in how well they've been developing them that there's not a lot of difference in how they appear. And I think this is what most people, we have a guy who's just coming out of a black site, I can't say which one, who's come forward, Jake Barber and his team, and he's been in the news some, where he's been an operator on the retrievals of these objects, but also the testing of the man-made ones. So my uncle's company, and my uncle worked his whole life with Northrop Grumman. We know that Ben Rich told us before he died that Lockheed Skunk Works had, in fact, reverse engineered the ET craft and had advanced aircraft that would trick anyone that it was alien or something when it isn't. So there was an agenda to sort of create a specter of a threat from out there, because they can control people through fear.
So we saw the hype in the media in Hollywood really accelerate then.
Well, that's what the drone stuff going on was about. It was testing people's reaction, creating, you know, terrifying fear. Now, the other reason for the secrecy,
and by the way, you said that when it all started, then months later Trump came out and said he'd been briefed once he was president-elect, and the quote, Biden knows, they know, they're just trying to create fear.
Yeah,
he literally said what you said.
It's a psyop. I mean, it was a totally psychological warfare operation. And everyone knew that on my team. But, you know, the public kind of panicked. What's going on? Members of Congress were confused. It was also an attempt to gaslight the members of Congress and the media in advance of these disclosures that are going to happen this year.
So we've also seen a bunch of so-called whistleblowers that say they heard on the phone from somebody, and it's all this cartoonish stuff about aliens and all this, and it's all, you can see it's all scripted, that they don't know each other, but they're all saying the same thing. I mean, it's definitely flooding the zone with BS. And you said on my show like 4 years ago, look for that soon.
Yep.
I mean, you literally keep calling it. Because I already respected you 30 years ago and 20 years ago, but now, I mean, I've been going back and listening to something you said 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and it's all coming true. So when you say the big false flag's coming, that could be the perfect thing to derail what Trump's doing. I know you'll get into his agenda, how you would describe his group, the populist movement, Musk. I mean, I want to see how you're saying these different structures break down.
Well, here's the, you know, if we're going to talk about Doge for a moment, the low-hanging fruit there are the $8 to $12 trillion that have been embezzled out of the U.S. Treasury, that have gone into illegal super black projects. I mean, the $60 billion they found so far isn't the tip of an iceberg. And now some of it's salacious and kind of ridiculous and tragic and funny, but what is not funny is that right under our noses in the United States, there is mass embezzlement of federal funds, not just out of DOD and CIA, but other departments and agencies that go into operations dealing with UAPs that no one in Congress knows about, except a few people who are corrupt and on the payroll of that organization. And certainly the administration doesn't have access to. So I think Mr. Musk has a big task ahead of him that he doesn't quite yet know about. And it's going to involve penetrating those illegal projects right under our noses, where we're talking big money, not, you know, a few billion. We're talking hundreds of billions and trillions in the aggregate that have gone into illegal projects. And I know that we have a number of new whistleblowers who are waiting for an executive order giving them amnesty and a privilege, an executive order that would protect them both physically and legally, because many of them that have been in these programs know they've been illegal and they want to blow the whistle, but they're vulnerable. So that's okay. another thing. Now, one thing I want to make a request early on in the show. If you or someone you know have worked in these operations, I'm working with, and I have to be careful what I'm saying here, but I'm working with a very relevant federal law enforcement entity where we can extend immunity to you and put surveillance and protection around you. And if you have documents, material, photographs, videos, or as a witness can testify to operations, corporate or government, that are dealing with UFOs and UAPs, we can bring that out now, and we can keep your identity confidential if you wish it to be confidential, because what has to happen is a rigorous investigation through authorities. I have no official authority. I just want to make it clear. I'm a private citizen doing this as a service to the country and to humanity.
But you have gotten your briefing to Trump, and he's read it.
I don't know how much of that hundreds of pages he's read. The one pager, I know for a fact, that you're looking at that has executive orders. And I've met extensively with some senior people. I don't want to say who in the administration has been getting read in. The person I would say is the most informed would be Amaryllis Kennedy, who's RFK Jr.'s daughter-in-law. And she's on the White House Advisory Intelligence Advisory Group. And we'll be working with Tulsi Gabbard at DNI. So we have people who have good knowledge. I've known her for a few years. And what I'm hoping will happen is that we'll be able to get a team together within the administration. It's very early because this issue is enormously complex. And I was talking to a general in Mar-a-Lago not long ago who I don't want to say who it is, but He works very closely with the president and also in his first administration.
Flynn.
And he didn't know a whole lot of information. He hadn't been read on. And he says certainly the president hadn't. And yet we have all this evidence. So I said this is...
Well, we know from the first administration, the neocons that were hiding in there.
Yes.
And we have the phone calls, now transcripts, with Biden. As soon as Trump gets in, he goes, listen, he's going to find the money we're doing. He's going to get sophisticated. If you ask for money, we'll give it to you through the IMF and World Bank.
Right.
So, and Trump said that they kept almost everything secret, not just the most secret of stuff, but
something.
They
couldn't hear it.
Hundreds of billions going to all sorts of scams.
Right. Oh yeah.
Already. Yeah. I can still. I'm still hearing him though. All right. Very good. Good. Alrighty. So now, you heard what he said. U.S. aid orders staff to destroy all documents. This is from the front page magazine here. This is the sort of thing you see during revolutions, a war being lost or a consulate having to be evacuated. Having the arm of the government do something like this really shows that the people running USAID think they lost the war to an enemy power and are destroying any incriminating evidence. Well, they want to destroy all the evidence, yeah, because of who all is involved. These are all high-ranking Democrats. Senior official at USAID instructed a number of the agency's remaining staff to convene in the agency, now former headquarters of Washington, on Tuesday for an all-day group effort to destroy documents stored there, many of which contain sensitive information. The materials and earmarked for destruction include contents of the agency's classified safes and personal documents at the Ronald Reagan building, said the email sent by USAID's acting executive director, Erika Carr, and obtained by Politico. The email didn't provide any reasoning for the document destruction. The building is being emptied out after mass layoffs, which may have disrupted routine document destruction timetables. Customs and Border Protection is planning to move into the USAID facility, having rented 390,000 square feet of office space in the building last month. Why does USAID even have classified documents in sufficient numbers that they need to be burned or in mass? This isn't the State Department proper. It's supposed to dispense international aid apart from information about local conditions. Why is USAID maintaining what it claims to be our classified documents? But this is the same USAID that refused to cooperate with SIGAR watchdog, which even under Biden staffers warned that it was a risk of liability for dealing with terrorists. A law-abiding agency doesn't need to do a mass all-day burn session before customs move into the building. So what do you think, John? That's, you know, what they did. I mean, why would not Cash Patel or why would not they send the FBI or somebody in there to guard that or to control all of that? Something's very wrong. What do you think, John?
Again, Pastor Ernie, it's like a black hole in there in the FBI and like the Justice Department. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They said they were going in there with guns blazing to get all these records, and we don't hear anything about Kennedy's assassination. The two Kennedys, they were going to have others there, Martin Luther King. And Epstein, and all of a sudden it's just like disappeared.
We have in our newsletter that's going out. It'll be going out pretty soon. In fact, some of it's already went out. We have a big article in there from congressmen who are telling you that all of those files have already been destroyed. That they don't even exist. They were destroyed before Trump could get into office. And so,
well, that makes sense. I believe that. Yes. So the thing is, now who did it?
Well, I just read you the name of the person that gave the orders out here. This is the White House response to that email,
right,
that was sent out. The White House on Tuesday evening responded to an email from senior USAID's official ordering remaining staffers to destroy documents. The documents shredded took place in the Ronald Reagan building Tuesday. Thousands of USAID workers were placed on administrative leave, so the building is being cleared up. Shred as many documents first and reserve the burn bags for when the shredder becomes unavailable or needs a break. The email from USAID's acting executive director, Erika Carr, said, the only labeling required on the burn bags are the words secret and USAID bio in dark Sharpie, if possible, the email said. The email was obtained by Politico and CBS News. Goes on to say, news said USAID staff had been instructed to clear out classified safes and personal docs per email. Shred as many documents first and reserve the burn bags. And when the shredder becomes unavailable or needs a break, the email reads. White House Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly said it's more fake news hysteria. The USAID's building will soon be occupied by CBP, Anna Kelly said. This was sent to roughly three dozen employees. The documents involved were old, mostly courtesy content from other agencies, and the original still exists on classified computer systems, she said. More fake news hysteria, she added. The USAID building will soon be occupied by CBP. This was sent to roughly three dozen employees. The documents involved were old, she said, and mostly courtesy content. So I don't know. Who do you believe, John?
Pastor Ernie, you can't believe anyone, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it would make sense to me that Obama, because he was actually running things, would want all of those documents destroyed before Trump got into and all of those involved in all of the corruption, Merrick Garland, all of those before Trump even got into office, wouldn't you think?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure it's even hard to believe that they kept these documents if they were so damning all those years, Pastor? And it seems they should have destroyed them years and years and years back.
You would have thought so. Anyhow, breaking news, the J6 committee will be investigating Nancy Pelosi, Liz Cheney, and Adam Schiff. They will be subpoenaed. This comes out of the Tucker Carlson news. That's good news. They need to be, what they did for that whole J6 thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was insurrection. They committed an insurrection.
They definitely did. Yes, that was it right out in your face, in lies, and it was incredible what they did.
You're telling me. And so on that, what we talked about earlier about that Muhammad Cahill, when they stormed into the Trump Tower, did you say, Aaron, that a number of them have been arrested?
Yes, I can find the article.
Somewhere,
I think it's
somewhere around 100, Pastor Ernie.
Around 100, good. It's about time.
Yeah.
And that's right there in New York, where.
And these schools are responding to the pulling the funds that are allowing these protests, the pro Hamas protesters.
Yeah, I think you've got.
They're expelling them.
Well,
because the Trump administration said, we're cutting your funding.
Yeah, they.
I don't know how many, but.
I know they cut, like $2 billion from Columbia University. I mean, these people
no,
are just.
That's what Columbia gets, Pastor Ernie. They cut $400 million already, and they were going to cut more.
Okay.
So are they expelling them, John?
Yes. Yes, they've expelled them. They've taken back their degrees, and they have, some of them there are foreign citizens, and they've thrown them out. So, yeah, they're finally starting to clean that rat's nest out of Columbia. But it took the money to do it.
Yeah.
It's always about money, right?
Always.
That's what we were talking last night about here, Nuisance, Governor Nuisance there in California, how he spent $100,000 for a bust of himself. But the real story was that he actually paid for it with his own money. The Democrats usually always pay for it with other people's money, okay? And so that was the real story, that he actually paid for it with his own money. What do you think of that? What do you got here?
I heard it wasn't his own money, Best Ernie.
Okay. Well, you heard it wasn't. They said they just had him on Fox News, and they were talking about that he spent his own money on that. So I don't know.
Yeah, but there's more to it that he wasn't telling the truth, from what I've read.
Oh, okay. Because that was the big story, that he actually spent his own money. He didn't spend others. So, well, what do you go? Anyhow, speaking of that, go ahead. What do you have there, Aaron? Tell him.
Here's some good news.
Yeah.
So the U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Trump wants no taxes for Americans earning under $150,000 annually. So U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick revealed that President Trump aims to abolish federal taxes for all Americans earning under $150,000 annually.
This is amazing. I don't know. Do you think he's going to pull that off?
And here's how, there's more here. According to Lutnick, the Trump administration is focused on driving revenue through tariffs, closing offshore tax scams, and slashing excessive spending instead of squeezing the middle class for every last penny.
Well, that would be very wonderful if he actually we could pull that off. What do you think, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, and there's even more to it. It has to do about tariffs. And to balance the tariffs out, instead of we're getting ripped off decade after decade of tariffs, and we would straighten the tariffs out, and that would bring a swing of enormous amount of money to the United States also. So that's possible. It's possible that what they're saying is true.
Okay. The last time the president actually put America first was Ronald Reagan. I mean, really. Reagan was, he was the same one who wanted a level playing field. He wanted a level playing field where it come to the tariffs. We didn't, it wasn't quite this, that way with either Bush's, was it?
No, no. Bush was New World Order, Pastor Ernie.
And so, again, it's always America last.
Pastor Ernie, you remember George Bush and he was touting, what was that, the 1,000 lights?
Yeah, 1,000. The something on a hill, 1,000 lights on a hill.
Yeah, was all New World Order imagery and all. And he exposed it, and then it was brought to his attention, and he dropped. It was dropped. He didn't hear anymore. But yeah, he was a New World Order guy, the Bushes. Mm.
Well, anyhow, but so this would be great to have, because right now you have that big war going on between the United States and Europe, the EU, and they. They raised, who was it, I think, was it India? I think it was India that raised the tariff on whiskey. What was it, 200% or something? Was it way up? India, I think, is one of the world's biggest producers of whiskey. One of them raised tariffs 200%.
That was the response, was 200%.
The response was to their...
Some country raised it. I think it was France. Wasn't it France?
No, France raised on...
Let me
find. Okay, the response, I think, was... No, I know. Trump raised it on the American wine. American wines, from California wines. But I believe it was... I'm pretty sure it was India that... That was one of the major producers. I was really surprised of whiskey. Maybe that's what I was listening to on the Money Channel. But anyhow, you have this stuff going on with Canada, too. Raising, and I believe it was that we raised the tariffs on Canadian steel, if I remember right. What do you think, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, steel and aluminum. This is real serious because, Pastor Ernie, what did I know about tariffs until this whole thing broke out into the open? And it's amazing the tariff structure Canada had against us, and we basically had an open border to take all their goods in without a tariff on it. So Trump wants to straighten that out and even it out. And also, he wants them to control their border to stop terrorists coming in and fentanyl coming into the United States. And the other thing was they don't really have a big, they're not carrying their weight in NATO, and they don't have much of a military, and they're basically, our military is their protection.
Yeah, that's the way
it adds up. That Trump wants to straighten this out, and hey, you know, we're going to have a more level field with tariffs, which will bring a lot of money our way.
And so, a level playing field, wouldn't you think that this thing should end up, everybody starts at zero as far as the tariffs goes, and just do away with tariffs altogether? And I know, that's a good place to start right there. But what do you think about the situation? I know that there's a growing and growing support amongst your big business, your big corporations for the United States and Canada to merge. But, I don't think that we should call it Canada our 51st state, because they're a sovereign country. But what if you did something, you merged America and Canada, and you put something like USA, Canada, America, or U.S., what is it? Canada, U.S., America, or North America, you know, change the name, but, you know, just if we brought it under one country, I think it would benefit everybody, don't you?
I don't think it would, Pastor Ernie. The Canadians have a much different mindset than ours, and the government just bullies them. And we can't agree. I mean, we could never get along with Quebec.
Well, no, we could, but we couldn't get along with California either, right? I mean, or Boston.
You know, so and we don't need more Californias in America.
No, but there's a lot of Canadians that are very conservatives, you know. That
Pastor, well, I found
that
the
could
facts.
Be a nice swap. We'll take the good Canadians, and they can have our hard left here.
Okay, but I mean the thing of it is yeah. What did you have there?
So what we were talking about just a couple minutes ago. This is Trump's tweet. The European Union, one of the most hostile and abusive taxing and tariffing authorities in the world, which was formed for the sole purpose of taking advantage of the United States, has just put a nasty 50% tariff on whiskey. This tariff is not removed immediately. The U.S. will shortly place a 200% tariff on all wines, champagnes, and alcoholic products coming out of France and other EU-represented countries.
Okay, but I know that, but they were saying that the whiskey, one of the largest producers in the world of whiskey, or the largest, is India. That's the same thing about the whiskey coming through India.
Yesterday, Trump directed his administration to increase tariffs on all European Union steel and aluminum imports to 25%. This prompted the EU to retaliate against a number of U.S. products, including whiskey and bourbon, tariffs on U.S.-made whiskey to 50%. So today, in a True Social post, Trump described the EU as one of the most hostile. That's the what I just read.
Okay, there you go. Alrighty, well.
And this yesterday, meaning 2 days ago, because that was an article from yesterday.
Venezuela is now taking back, in fact, they took back the first plane load of criminals that they sent here. And that's good news, because they took back a whole bunch of murderers and rapists and things. Now, here, the Democrats are at battle about moving, they want to move forward. But there's a percentage of within the collective that want to move more to the center. They want to become what they consider to be moderates, and that's the big battle, because the other group in there, they want to double down on dumb. I mean, they want to go to, you know, all of the, you know, more abortion, more men and women sports and women's bathrooms. The ACLU has been pushing, they want to legalize pedophilia and, more tampons and pregnancy tests for men. I mean, this is, so you got the two groups there, John. What do you think is going to happen? Who's going to win that war?
They're such ideologues, Pastor Ernie, that I think they'll break up. You know, they're so entrenched in their ideologue. It's about transgendered and all that. They'll go down with the ship on this, Pastor. You could see it.
All right.
So I don't see it. I don't see a good future for the Democrat Party unless it becomes completely over and to the hard left woke pastor.
You think it'll break off into two parties?
It's very possible. It's very possible, Pastor. I thought the Republican Party was going to do that, but apparently at this point it's holding.
Yeah, because it's usually the Republican Party that self-destruct. You know, that... But now it's the Democrats have been in lockstep, but now that's all changed. And here, remember that young woman, Peyton McNabb, she was the young woman who was hit when she was playing volleyball. She was on that women's volleyball team.
In Vermont.
Yeah. Yes. And she got hit in the head. She's got, I notice her now, it looks like she's put on quite a bit of weight. But anyhow, she's being charged, or she's being accused of bullying. She's being accused of bullying. Do you know why? Because the sorority Delta Zeta expelled McNabb after finding her guilty of violating the sorority's anti-bullying policy and engaging in moral prejudicial conduct. In other words, the bullying violation involves any activity reasonable, perceived, or being documented. And what she did was she asked some guy what he was doing. Let me see. Her offense was calmly confronting a man in a dress in a woman's restroom, recording him out of fear for her safety and posting a video on X to warn other young women. You can judge for yourself whether this involved any bullying or brought disrepute on the society. I mean, can you believe that? Here this young girl, this young woman is in the bathroom. There's a guy in there with a dress, a Democrat. Only Democrat males wear dresses. Anyhow, and she confronts him, and this man calls her rude, and her sorority condemns her for being a bully.
The sorority itself stood with her, Pastor Ernie, but it was the leadership that turned against her. So,
John, did you hear the good news about RFK and Big Food to eliminate chemicals?
Yes. Get rid of those dyes. Yes.
Why is it that we're the only country in the world that has all of that junk in our food? It's a, how many different ones are there?
Kennedy laid out a shocking reality. 10,000 chemicals are currently lurking in the U.S. food supply, while Europe has banned all but 400. So the headline is, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. ends FDA loophole allowing big food to sneak harmful chemicals into U.S. food supply, which is making many of us sick.
Well, probably so, major causes
that's
of
a
cancer.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. It is, but my guess is that that's probably one of the major causes for cancer.
Good things are happening. Let's keep praying.
Well, we told you before earlier about Trump. Trump says he used to be Jewish, Trump says, and he's talking about Chuckie Schumer. President Donald Trump said on Wednesday the Senate Majority Leader Chuckie Schumer is basically a Palestinian. And due to the Jewish senator's current position on the Israel-Hamas war. So, Trump says Schumer is a Palestinian. As far as I'm concerned, he's become a Palestinian. He used to be Jewish. He's not Jewish anymore.
Pastor Ernie, I scoured the news on that, and Schumer did not say a word in response, at least that I could come up with. He was dead silent about it.
Well, he's caught because you got these radicals. You got AOC and the squat, and then you've got the Democratic minority leader, which is, I believe, Muslim. What's his name? What is his name? I'm seeing your moment again.
You're talking about the House?
Yeah.
Hakeem Jeffries.
I believe he's a Muslim.
Is he?
I believe so.
I did not know that.
I'm not for sure on that. But I know that some of the squat are Muslims.
Well, is Ilhan Omar going to get deported?
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting thing, what they did there. The judge in New York tried to put a stop on deporting him. But the way that works, John, the judge can only do that.
Ilhan Omar, Minnesota.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the guy that was, I just read his name here, the one that was, let me see. What was his name?
John, are they doing anything with Ilhan Omar as far as her being loyal to Somalia over America?
Well, that there was all sorts of talk in the House about censoring her and all. And it's the same old thing. It just died.
Okay.
Well, they got her on tape saying statements of loyalty to Somalia over America.
Yeah.
And they filed a petition to...
It just seemed to die in some House committee, and that's it. I haven't heard a thing.
It's all just theater.
Yeah, that's a good word for it, or a bad word, I guess you should say, theater, yes.
You know, Che has become, since she's been here, very, very wealthy, something like $18 million, even more than that, okay? She's actually, since she's been here, but here's the thing, I thought you were referring to the Muhammad Cahill, and let me go and talk about that. The Muhammad Cahill, the guy that Trump is going to deport, the one that led up this riot there in New York at that college. Here, this judge, one of these left-wing radical judges, tried to put a stop on Trump's order. But what they did is they moved him out. They moved him down south there, I think to Louisiana, if I remember. And so what happens is that order is only valid in the district in which that judge has authority. And so when they moved him out, there's no longer authority, so he's being deported back to wherever he came from. And so, Trump has been really beating these judges. He's been, but now with that executive order, he's going to shut them down. And we'll see what happens until it gets to the Supreme Court. But I tell you what, I don't trust that Supreme Court,
How can you? So I have an idea with the courts, whether they're state or federal courts, trying to block the deportation of these Hamas supporters. How about arresting these federal judges under that they are preventing the Justice Department to do its job? In other words, if you protect illegal aliens like that and ones that are being deported, that's a crime. So what about these judges that there's no reason whatsoever that they should prevent the immigration and naturalization and all from deporting them, but they do. They get involved, they tie it up, they make decisions in favor of the illegal alien.
They go outside their authority. Their authority. John,
if they go outside their authority, Pastor Ernie, then I think they're ripe to be prosecuted.
Chris, how much time do I have?
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes, John. You've got to tell the folks how they can get to heaven, get to glory, and avoid that burning lake of fire. Can you do her?
Okay, Pastor Ernie. Well, why don't we look at the people that are in heaven? We go to Revelation 5:9, and they tell us why they're in heaven. So let me read this scripture, Revelation 5. In fact, there's a new song being sung in heaven to Jesus Christ, and it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. That's the book that's going to bring the judgment during the book of Revelation. And for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So it says here, for thou wast slain and redeemed us to God. And that means they paid the penalty has been paid for. So that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. His gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. But what's interesting here, again, let me read it again. For you were slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood. It's his shed blood that paid the penalty for our sin out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So that's telling us that heaven is open to everyone, folks. It's open to everyone, but it's only for those who will repent of sin and confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's very clear that there is no hindrance on anyone getting to heaven, and it can be done by repenting of their sin and believing that Jesus Christ took the penalty for your sin on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again the third day. That goes along with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So heaven is open, folks, and the only way you will not get to heaven is by not repenting of sin and turning to Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who paid the penalty. The Bible says God is holy, and sin cannot be in his presence. And that there's a penalty for sin. Look at sin as like a crime here in America. If you commit a crime, there's always a penalty for it. And it's always subject to prison. You know? Well, God is the same way. If you commit sin, there's a penalty. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. 1 minute. You have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Okay. So it can be done right now. Remember, confessing, saying, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for my sin, and he rose from the dead 3 days later in power, resurrection power, and I can have that resurrection power in my life. Thank you, Pastor Ernie.
All right, you're welcome. You know, John, there are people hear this. For 50 years, we've been giving this invitation out, and sometimes people hear it many, many times before they finally realize, you know what? I better do it. And, folks, I'm going to tell you, that is the most important thing you'll ever do. You will never, ever do anything that'll mean as much to you as calling upon the name of the Lord and getting saved. And that's just the reality. We're out of time for tonight. So, as we always say, when we get to this time, thanks for being here with us. Thanks for being here, Big John.
And, Thank you, Pastor, for having me.
And then we say, good night.
Good night.
And we say, God bless to you all.
God bless.
And then we say, and always, always, always.
Always.
Keep. Fighting the fight. We got to fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.